we're about to begin a new sugya, that's the sugya of Yoledes. Now, up until now, we spoke about two different ways for women to become a surah. One is through Hilchot Nid, and one is through Hilchot Zava. On the level of their eyes, there are differences between the two. But when all the dust settled at the end of last week, we pretty much came to the conclusion that in the Rabbanah, there really is no difference. That any woman who sees Dav at any time in her cycle, either with the Raisa or the Rabbanan, is considered to be the worst case scenario in England, Zabar Gedola, and she requires Shevinikiyim. So the next area that we enter into is, what if you have a woman who becomes a Yoledes, she gives birth? So technically speaking, if she gives birth, she can become a Nida without having any Dam at all. But that's going to happen, not highly unlikely medically, but in theory, there's such a possibility that would exist. Lamaisa, when a woman gives birth, so the Torah says explicitly, Kimei Nidas Nosatitma, that she becomes halakhically like a Nida, whether or not there is that. If she gives birth to a boy, then she's the exact same as a Nida, she shivers Yom Tiv Nida, so she's to marry after 7 days. And afterwards, we may tell her, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in terms of the Yemei Tum and Yemei Yisr, giving birth to a boy is identical to becoming a Nida Diraisa. Giving birth to a girl is identical to becoming a Nida, but doubled. The Torah says, so she has all the status of a Nida Diaraita, namely there's no need for Shivanakiyam, we're talking about a level of Diaraita, it's Kididasa. On the other hand, it's Shivayam Kididasa. The Torah says that it's 2 weeks, that she has to be Tumeh, she has to be Asura for 2 weeks rather than for 1 week. So it's a very strange, it's a Hilchos Nida, but for 2 weeks, you get nothing to do with Shivanakiyam. So those are the Din of Diaraita of Yoledes. If a woman has a regular Yadav, so then she becomes a Nida also, but again, it's totally irrelevant because she's becoming either Yoledes Zohar or Yoledes Akeba, which is either equal to Yadav or more than Yadav. In theory, a woman can also be what we call an Alacha Yoledes Bezov. That means she could, even on level of Deraisa, potentially become a Nida and a Zava, or Yoledes and a Zava rolled into one. How could that be? Well, if before the birth she had Yadav, if she had Yadav for 3 days, and it was below Esnidasa, whatever that means, depending on the Ram and the Ramban of last week. So if we're going to label this as below Esnidasa, so she could become a double tumor. She could become Yoledes, having the baby. She could become a Zava also if she met those criteria of Yemei Ziva. And the significance of that would be that she would now, on a level of the rights, have the worst of both worlds. She would have the Chumas of both. She would have to wait 1 week or 2 weeks, she would have to wait 2 weeks for Yoledes, and she would have to wait, in addition to that, we'll see as we go on, overlap or addition, she would have to wait Shivanakiyam as well. So in the most Chumadika version of the love of the Araisa, is that you get everything thrown at you. You become Yoledes, Yoledes Nekedes Nekevet, potentially, and as well as you have to throw in Shivanakiyam. The reason why I'm presenting, almost in a sense, the worst case scenario, because that's the rice what happens with Zman Hazeh. That is the halacha of Zman Hazeh. But it's going to take us a little bit of time to again to understand how exactly the halacha got to where it is today. So we just mapped out on the level of Deraisa, Nida, Zohar, that was last week, 2 weeks ago. Then we just mapped out Yoledes Zohar, Yoledes Nekeva, and Yoledes Bezov. It comes to Gemara on page 25 and puts the break on this principle to let us resolve that very often it's not going to actually happen. We'll see how it plays out for us in a little while. But just first we're learning what the Din Deraisa is. So page 25, in the bottom of the Mar Mekamos, we go a little bit backwards because there's a couple of Mar Mekamos we haven't done yet. We're going to go back to them as the Shia develops. We're going to start off with the bottom of page 25. The Gemara quotes a Brice of Atanya, Hamakasha b'me nida nida b'me ziva tohora. The Gemara quotes a discussion that really appears a little bit in the Mishnah Nida and then elaborated upon the Brice about what's called the principle of damkoshi. So damkoshi is any blood that's associated with the labor itself, with koshi, which is hot, she's having contractions, any blood that's associated with the labor is not subject to the dinam of yemei ziva. It doesn't change Hilchos Nida, but it does change Hilchos Zava. How in the world do we know that? So that's because of a special tradition that we have, special tradition of our family teaches us that any blood that's koshi, that's labor associated, automatically is excluded from the Parsha of Zava. So it sounds like that contradicts what I just told you a minute ago. Not yet. Hang in there. So the Brisa starts out by saying, Makashim Me Nida. So if she experiences what we halakhically label as Dam Koshi, if she joins the days of Nida, Nida. You may ziva, but if it's during the days of ziva, then Torah, then it's not a problem. Ketzer, what would this mean? So kishta yom echad v'shavsa shnayim. So the Brisa begins by saying that she has 1 day of of Dam Koshi, and means she's having labor, she's having pain, she's having contractions, and she's starting to bleed, so she has Dam Koshi, but then all the labor, all the pain subsides, but she's still bleeding. So that bleeding that's now coming is what we call Dam Shofin. Shofin means like it flows easily, without any, not associated with anything labor oriented. So here she thinks she's in labor, so for one day she had pain, then she had contractions, then she had blood, and then all of a sudden everything subsides, and then she goes into, but she's, everything subsides except for the bleeding. So now the question is, if you count up the days, she has 3 days in a row of Dam. So 3 days in a row of Dam, Bimei Zivasa, is usually spells becoming a Zofa Gedola. But here, one of those days was in the context of Koshi. That's the first case that the breast comes about. Oh, Shekishta Shnaim. Well, what if she has 2 days of labor, Vishavsi Yom Echad, and then the last day of the three, because again, you need the magic number three in order to become a Zofa Gedola, the last of the 3 days was experienced in a state of Shofi. Oh, the third case of the Breisa, Shashavsa. The first day was Shofi, Vikishta, second day was Koshi, Vichazra Vishavsa, and the third case was Shofi. So if you look at the common denominator of all those cases is that the day closest to the end was always Shofi. So says the Gemara, Rezo, you'll let us bezov. That's considered an halacha to be a you'll let us bezov. Why is that? So that's what the Gemara is going to quote in a moment, what's called Shofi Samach Leita. When does the Torah say that there's a tour of Dam Koshi? That's when the Koshi, when the blood is seen in the state of labor, and that labor leads right into a baby. That's called the Koshi Samach Leita. When it's a Shofi Samach Leita, in the end, the last Re'ias was in a state of Shofi, so that's called the Shofi Samach Leita, and that was never included in this Gzeres HaKos. Again, there's a Dinim Deraisa. We haven't practiced these Dinim in 2,500 years, 2,000 years ever since the days of the Beis HaMikdash, because we'll see in a moment it doesn't make much of a difference for us, but we have to understand, at least conceptually, what was going on in that Torah, to understand, to appreciate what we do practically in Tashanayim Zayim. So comes the Gemara and says, if the Shofi is at the very end of the picture, so we have to throw at you the Din Deraisa, you become what's called the Yoledes Bezov. But what if a woman has Shofi at first, Vikishta Shnaya, and then she has 2 days of Koshi? Oh, Shofsa Shnaya, Vikishta Yom Echad, 2 days of Shofi and 1 day of Koshi. Oh, Shekishta, Vishofsa, Vachosa, Vikishta. It's Koshi, Shofi, Koshi. Ain't Zayel Letters Bezov. That's not called the Letters Bezov, but there's no need for Shivan Akiyah. Klaw Shaldava, when all the dust settles, what's the Din Deraisa? Koshi, Savach Laleda, Ain't Zayel Letters Bezov. Whenever the Koshi is right before birth, so that's called not your letters bezov, but that's mutter min haTorah. Shofi samach leida raise your letters bezov, but if it's the other way around, if the shofi is at the end, then we have a problem. So the question is, where in the world does this place us as manazet? So comes the Rambam. We go back now to the 24th page of the Maariv Kamos. The Rambam, on page 24, on the second of the Maariv Kamos. Comes the Rambam in Perikid Aleph Halacha Hey and says, "V'chein kol ayoledes b'zman hazeh, any woman who gives birth b'zman hazeh, harei yi ki yoledes b'zov, she's considered to be like a yoledes b'zov, u'tzricha shiviz yamim nikim k'mo shebi'arnu, and under all circumstances, she is required to observe shiviz nikim." Why is that? So this is the lingo that all the Rishonim use, is that b'zman hazeh, once we live in a world post-Rabbi Zeira, remember Rabbi Zeira told us, last week we spoke about the nose is growing from your last month. Shafila roas tipas nabrichaz on Yoshua Shivinikim. Rabbi Zeira's chumrah, the chumrah of Bnei Yisrael was that it doesn't matter when it is, what it is, how much it is, any riyas dam. Once we pass in Tameya translates to mean Shivinikim. There's no kunsim anymore, there's no Shivas Yom without Shivinikim, there's no Shivas Yom Kedeng. And Yom, none of this applies.
Is that for Rabbanim to Kibla Aleyim when it comes to, having a psak that?
Well, so we mentioned at the very end of the shiur last week that according to the way we assume halacha, the Benos Yisrael Chmiel Atzmat is not negotiable. The Ritva wrote that although it may have started as a minhag, it was a type of minhag that was nimnu v'gomru, that Chazal Iftar was accepted.
But a rav has to pass it. But in general, many times in halacha we have kibul aleihem. We have different chumash in kibul aleihem b'nei Yisrael. Is this different kibul aleihem b'nei Yisrael than other things in kibul aleihem?
This may be more
on other
This may be more common. This may be more common than some of the other kibbalim. So we have kibbalim davening, ma'arvitz kibbalim fasting, tiny else bezman hazeh. We have a bunch of kibbalim. This is probably more common.
Also on pasistro and on.
Those again, there's a big difference. Some of those minhagim are after the days of the Gemara. Any minhag, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but the Rambam writes. Those are Isurim Darabanan. Those are Rambam's form. Isurim Darabanan.
Even the Kibla Aleim that. Kibla Aleim.
No. There are formal Isurim Darabanan that were instituted by the Beis Din HaGadol. So those are absolutely binding, in a sense, minhatorah, l'sasim, adav, sheyichay, even the small, those are for sure. Then you have other things where Klal Yisrael will makabel upon themselves. Not as a psach of Beis Din HaGadol. The Klal Yisrael accepted by themselves a certain practice. So that's also binding in halacha. Als Kabbalah said Tzibur is also binding force in halacha. But here the Ritva writes that this was a combination of both. The Ritva writes that it started out as almost a grassroots movement that the Bnei Yisrael Hechmiru Atzman, they accepted upon themselves this Chumrah. And then when the Rabbanim saw that this was a very, very good Chumrah, this made a lot of sense. Because otherwise, people, it's going to be crazy. Nuchos needs otherwise. No one's going to be able to keep track properly. So then there was a formal, official Takanas Lechamim that's now binding, no different than Muktzah and Bishalakom, when there was Hanukkah and Kriyas and Megillah, like any other din Rabbah.
Just because the term connected to, I guess, to Purim, Kibbul.
Yeah.
So is that a higher level when a Rav gives a psak of Kibbul? No.
I don't think so. So this is, forget, this is, there was one opinion the Poskim in. One argued that Bnei Yisrael was more kal than a din d'rabbanan, and therefore, under very, very unique circumstances, I think we mentioned this about the fertility issues last week. We mentioned that there was the Galgi Masechta, one of the Achronim in Europe before the war, suggested that maybe if you have a situation where the doctors are saying the woman's never going to become pregnant because of Shivan Kiyam, because she's ovulating too early, so we can do away with Shivan Kiyam. Mokom Pir Varivya, Lo Kiblo Alayu. So a little later post him thought that wasn't correct. Moshe, from the Nimr of a Gomer, Kiblo Alayu, that's not the accepted view. But we mentioned last week that there are other ways, Mazmanazet, to get around that problem with medication, much, much easier than the early 1900s. But the Rabbi Shem Shalom Zaman both assumes that the Pasha that you cannot tamper with Shimon and Kima in any circumstance. So here the Rambam is telling us that basically Rabbi Zeira's din, Rabbi Zeira's Kabbalah, Rabbi Zeira's Takana, now spells out for us, in a sense, the end of this whole sugya of Dam Koshi. Because even though a woman has Dam Koshi, I mean, have Torah, we say it's not a Zohar. So big deal, we say it's not a Zohar. It's never a Zohar. It's always not going to be a problem in that Torah. And it doesn't matter, including Rabbi Zeira's Chumras HaTzibu, with the Takanas HaChavim, whatever the background of Rabbi Zeira's statement was, the bottom line is that any Yoledes B'Zmanazeh now translates to become the most Chumra case scenario called Yoledes B'Zov. So every time a woman gives birth to B'Zmanazeh, you now have to ask yourself two questions. Number one, it's not two questions, two simple answers. She is a Yoledes B'Zov, so it means that she needs Shivri Kiyim, but she also can't forget the Din D'Oraisa. The Din D'Oraisa is that she is a Yoledes. And as a Yoledes, if she's a Yoledes Zohar, so then that's really meaningless, because once she's waiting Shiva Nikiyam, by definition she's waited the Shiva's Yomim. But if she's a Yoledes Nekeva, so then in addition to the Shiva Nikiyam, she has to also have 14 days. Let's say, for example, a woman would, it doesn't happen, but let's say a woman would have a baby, after 2-3 days she would stop bleeding. The mice doesn't happen. But let's say, and almost how demyonis that would happen, and she would say, okay, great, I'm clean for 7 days, ready to go to the mikvah. Ready to go to the mikvah, and this is their ice. That would be in a sakaris if she had a girl, because besides the din of Shiva Nikiyam, she has to also make sure that she's passed what the Torah says, v'tamush v'ayim kididasa. So yeah, the reason why we don't usually think in those terms today is because anyway, she's bleeding for weeks and weeks anyway after having a baby. But, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, we do have to think in those terms, because these didn't be a lettuce applied to a mapella, applied to a woman having a miscarriage also. So very often a woman will have a miscarriage, and very often we won't even know whether it's a boy or a girl, depending on what we're up to in terms of early or later miscarriages. And sometimes you can have a situation where Shimon Akiyam was completed, but Lamais, it's only the 12th day after she had this miscarriage. So if it was Yoledes Nekeva, she can't go to Mikvah Midaraisa. So a Rav has to always be very careful about this whenever one answers a miscarriage Shaila. So usually Rav would think, oh, miscarriage, yeah, no problem. Shivan Akiyam, you're like a regular Nita. No, it's worse than a regular Nita. Because in addition to Shivan Akiyam, you have to make sure that you've also cleared the hurdle of the 14 days as a chashash of a Sufik Issacharis Midaraisa. So again, we'll talk about this as we go on. So the first Dinim of Hilchos Yoledes that have changed radically from the days of old, from the days of the Beis HaMikdash, is that this whole distinction between your letters bezov, not your letters bezov, is totally meaningless for Zman Hazeh. Everything is covered by the Chumah Rebbe Zeira. But now there's something else that may potentially change radically, and that is what the Chumash says afterwards. The Chumash says that the Torah, I'm sorry, the Chumash says in Parashas Tazria that after a woman gives birth, so for 7 days she's tamei for a boy, 14 days she's tamei for a girl, and then she gets a very, very big window of opportunity, what we call Yemei Tohar. The Torah says that for 33 days after those 7 days, any dam that she sees is a freebie. It's totally tahor. Doesn't matter what it is. She can be bleeding, doesn't matter. Etetah gomer min haTorah. And the same is true for a nekev, except it's double the amount. For 66 days after the 14 days, she gets that window of opportunity for Yemei Tohar. So min haTorah, a woman had a baby, and she had a girl. She has a girl. After 14 days, she goes to the mikveh. There's no shiv, nekev, nothing. She goes to the mikveh after 14 days. And then 2 days later, she's starting to mamish bleed like regular. So min haTorah, it's hetah gomer. Totally will ignore that blood. They forbid it to be 100% together without any showers whatsoever in the Torah. For the next 66 days, they can do that. After 66 days, then the din derives to them, the window closes, and then she goes back to regular hilchos nida. So that din was called Yemei Tohar. The question is, does any of that apply bisman hazeh? Do we follow that kula derais of Yemei Tohar today? So coming to Rambam, back to that second of the Maram Kavos. So the Rambam says, read it again from Halacha. Hey, chema, call your letters b'sman hazeh, reik your letters b'zol, tzun neshim v'nikim, kosh b'yanu, u'minak pashut. So here the Rambam just changed the terminology. The Rambam is not talking to Raisas, he's not even talking to Rabbanans. He's talking about minak. So the simple, plain minak is a very interesting historical Rambam. The Rambam is telling all the different places that he's aware of the following minak. U'minak pashut, b'shin ar, b'shin ar is bavel. He's telling you what the minig in Bava was. Uve Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz HaTzvi means Eretz Yisrael. It's a phrase Chazal sometimes used to describe Eretz Yisrael. Uve Svarad in Spain. So the Rambam had access to that. Rambam was born in Spain, even though his later years were in Egypt. Uve Ma'arav. Ma'arav, to the best of my knowledge, is referring to North Africa, that they used to call the Torah centers of North Africa, where the Rambam was part of it. Egypt, we called the land of Ma'arav because it was the west of Bavel. His bubble was always called, they used to call it the Gaoni Mizrach and the Gaoni Mairav. The Gaoni Mizrach were those in the east and the bubble. The Gaoni Mairav were the western community. So the Rambam just spelled out for us Babylonia, Eretz Israel, Spain, and basically North Africa, which is almost all of the Jewish communities, except for notice who's conspicuously missing. All the Ashkenazim are missing.
Right, England.
There were no Jews in England. That's not good.
Germania.
We were France and Germany. Okay. He missed all of us.
All the Balei.
We're getting there in a minute. He's going to talk about that in a second. Okay, he's going to talk about that in a second. So first he talks about the communities that he was, in a sense, firsthand familiar with. So the Rambam lived in Israel for a short time. He was born in Spain, and he lived in the Ma'arav, and he had a lot of correspondence with the Gaoni of Bavel. So he knew very firsthand what was going on in these communities. So he writes that the custom, Minigat Poshin, around in the 1100s, writing, Minigat Poshin is, Shim Rosa Dam Besoch Yimei Melos. If a woman sees blood in the Yimei Melos, Melos is Yimei Tohar. Alpha Pisha Rosa Acha Shesofa Shivanikim Vitavla. Harezo Sofera Shivanikim Acha Shiyusuk Adam. That the Minig is that if she counted a Shivanikim, went to the Mikvah, then she bleeds again, joined those Yimei Tohar, that we insist that she count Shivanikim again, and we insist that she goes back to the Mikvah. The ain nos the law you may tohar klal, she gets nothing. There's no you may tohar at all this man has that. Ella, what is the din? Kol dam shatira isha, bein dam koshi, bein dam tohar. It doesn't matter. He goes back and he throws at you dam koshi, and he says dam tohar. Hakol tamli, everything is usher. The safarish of the yam nikiyim, achashi yitso hadam. Top of page 25. The rabbi with one fell swoop in the hay, just hit away with the two psukim chumash. It said that the middle of a poshet is that nobody follows this anymore. But then the rabbi gives you a little bit more history in the halacha vav. The rabbi writes, "V'din zeh bimei ha'gaonim nischadish." Says the rabbi, this is not from the Gemara. That this din was instituted in the days of the gaonim. So from the Gemara was closed at around the 400-500. The Rambam was living in the 1100s, so about 600 years from the Gemara to the Rambam. That was the period primarily of the Gaonim. So the Rambam writes that the Gaonim instituted this idea of not relying on the Zdin Derais anymore of Dam Torah. The Haim Gazu, they made a Gezeira, Shalo Yisham Dam Torah Klal. Now the Rambam is asking himself, what do I need the Takanas HaGaon for? Why isn't this included, Rabbi Zeira? Rabbi Zeira says, Afilu Yoshu Shiva Dekiva Ol Kol Tipas Dam. So says the Rambam, no, this is not Rabbi Zeira. So Shazeh Shechmir Atzma B'mechach Me'a Gemara, that which Chazal Machmir in the Gemara of Rabbi Zeira's statement, Eino El Bara Dam Shu Tamei. Rabbi Zeira was referring to a case where a woman sees blood, and the blood is Tamei, but min haTorah, you don't have to wait Shiva Nekiya. So the Chum of Rabbi Zeira, the Chum of B'nos Yisrael was, if and when it's Tamei, we're going to throw at you the most Tamei of all the Tameis. So Shishav L'Shiva Nekiya. Aval Dam Shetibi Me'Tohar, but Dam Tohar, that scene, Achas Vira Utviva, when she counted her original Shiva Nekiya, she went to the Mikvah Rebbe, so this is nothing. This is like seeing blood from another part of the body. This is halachli, not blood. Eim Lachashlo, min haTorah, not only Minat Torah is it mutter, even with the Rabbanim it's mutter. She'en Yimei Torah u'yim lo l'nida v'ol l'ziva k'mo sh'v'yarnu. Says the Yimei Torah is mufka from everything. So it's like Lamasha, a woman cuts her hand, we don't say, oh, sorry, she saw Tipas Dam, so she's a sur. That's a joke, says the Rambam. If this Tipas Dam that she's seeing is not halachically Dam Nida, it's not Dam Ziva, it doesn't affect any Tuva, so why should Rabbi Zeira bother us and require Shivinikim? So the Rambam says that min haTorah it's for sure mutter, even with the Rabbanon it's mutter, midina gemara, it's asamitam chidish takana se ga'onim. That's what the Rambam says. Why do we think that the Gaonim instituted this? It doesn't take that much creativity to figure out. It's going to drive people going to get very mixed up. The woman's going to come, tell the Rabbi, you won't believe it, I just had a baby 2 weeks ago, and I'm gushing blood. And the Rabbi's going to say, it's okay, that's fine. That's perfectly okay. So the woman's going to say, that's okay, we got a very progressive Rabbi. And then 3 months later, when she's bleeding, she said, well, the Rabbi told me 3 months ago that it's okay. So I thought he said I have 2 years till I finish nursing. So, no. He only said for 33 or 66 days, there's going to be a lot of confusion. So therefore, the days are going, they realize this is just too risky. We have to do away with this thing.
You also say that because it was linked to a carbon and tomb of the Tahara, and since there's no opportunity to bring the carbon anymore.
Right, well, it's true that it is carbon-oriented, but that wouldn't change the etzem din of the Tahara. You're right that the application of carbon doesn't apply anymore.
So I'm saying it's maybe because of that the one
confusion. It's going to be confusion. There's going to be confusion. No question there's going to be confusion. So now the Rambam in Halacha Zayin has the next startling historical statement. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam tells us, "V'shamanu, we have heard, shebitzorfas." Now the Ashkenaz can feel good again. Shebitzorfas bolam al dam tohar. He said, "I heard that in France, which was the Ashkenazi communities were France and Germany. So when they used to just lump them together. Then and the Rambam was sitting in North Africa, in Cairo. I don't think he cared whether you were technically in Alsace or Lorraine. You're over the line of." The line between France and Germany changed so many times until the 20th century also. So he called it all the Chachmei Tzarfas. That's what the Rambam used to refer to them. So the Rambam writes that he heard that in France, they don't follow what I'm saying. Now again, it's interesting, the Rambam writes to Shamanu, because he didn't see it. The Rambam never stepped foot into France. The Rambam, again, knew firsthand what was going on in Egypt and Spain and Eretz Yisrael, but then didn't know firsthand what was going on in France. But he heard. He had correspondence. The Rambam actually did have correspondence with France. Because France in the Middle Ages was really two parts. There was Northern France and Southern France. Southern France was Provence. And Provence was actually, there was a lot of letters of correspondence between the Rambam and the Chachmei Provence. They used to send them shadows all the time. The Raibid was one of the Chachmei Provence. So the Rambam and the Chachmei Provence definitely had interaction. The Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos had much less interaction, because just in terms of the history of the Middle Ages, Northern France and Southern France were like different worlds, like Amorim. They were different kingdoms. They had much nothing to do with each other. Northern France was like Germany, the German world, and Southern France was closer to the Italian world of Jewry. It was like a different world.
But the
Balei Tosfos in England, but those were a much smaller group. There were Balei Tosfos in England. They were Jewish
communities.
Yeah, they were the French. They were the French German. That was all part of the Shita Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri and the Rash. That was all the Ashkenazi tradition. So most of us, most Ashkenazim here, are descendants from that world of the Balei Tosfos and the French German part of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam writes that he heard v'shamanu shebitzorfas bolam al dam tohar kedin haGemara ad hayom. He says that he hit. This is still the 1100s. The Rambam writes that I heard that in France they still follow this practice, the din deraisa, and they also agreed to me that it wasn't the din midin chachmei Gemara, and they didn't follow this talk of the Gaonim. Achas v'shamanu Shabbos is over. Dovah Zeh Tolim B'Minah. And the Ram concedes that it's okay what they're doing, because this is a minah. He says it wasn't a din derayis, it's not a din derabban, it's a chumus ha-goinim, and a chumus ha-goinim only has the status of a minah, and in those communities that this minah wasn't accepted, it was not deemed necessary.
Can you just recap for me, Rabbi Zeira, Rambam, minah, and break it down the categories between the three?
Yeah, so Rabbi Zeira reports to us that the B'nai Yisrael chmir al atzmon. But the B'nai Yisrael accepted a chumrah that if a woman, a regular woman, not even has a little bit of riyas dam, even though min haTorah she doesn't have to count shem nekiyim, the B'nai Yisrael accepted upon themselves to count shem nekiyim. The pashtus is that wasn't just a Jewish custom, just the custom the women instituted, but once the Chachamim realized that this custom made a lot of sense, it was formulated into halacha by the Chachmei Gemara. So it was agreed upon in the days of the Umar of Ashi that this is going to become a formal din midirabanan. And then this is binding it all of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam writes in his introduction to Perashat Mishnayos that any din that was accepted by the Chachmei Gemara is binding it all of Klal Yisrael. You can't have a Jewish community in the middle of the world somewhere that's going to say, well, we don't follow what says the Gemara. That's not acceptable. That anything that was agreed upon by the Chachmei Gemara is binding on the entire Klal Yisrael. That's, I don't know if you were near at that part when Rav Asher Weiss was talking. I don't know if you're still around the part. But that's what Rabbi Chanan has is a famous comment. Rabbi Chanan asks in the Rambam, where does that come from? Well, what's the source of that? If anything the Gemara says is absolutely binding Chikul Yavar. Let's say there's a Jewish community in the middle of Ethiopia that says, we never heard Rabbi, never Rav Ashi. Why is that binding on us? We never followed that. So Rabbi Chanan writes that the reason is because anything that was accepted by the Chachmei Gemara has the status of a Pesach Beis and Hagadol. Why is it a Pesach Beis and Hagadol? Because the din is, based on his understanding of the Rambam, is that anything that was accepted by Rav Chachmei Torah, anything that was accepted by the majority of the Chachamim in that generation, even though there was no formal 71 Dayanim sitting in the Beis HaMikdash with the Lishkas HaGozis, anytime you have a Pesach of Kol Chachmei Hador, that becomes the halach equivalent of a Pesach of Beis HaGadol. So the Chanan writes that whatever was agreed upon by the Chachmei Gemara, Ravina Rav Ashi, wasn't this Ravina Rav Ashi writing a private book? They were representative of all the Tevi Chacham and Bava, who were the overwhelming. Yeah, there were a few Rabbanim in different places. There was a small community still in Eretz Yisrael, very, very small. You had already at that time, there was a little of an inkling of a Jewish community in Spain already. There were even in Germany, there was a little bit of a something. In Italy, there were Jewish communities throughout the world at that time. But the overwhelming Torah knowledge, the Torah, the Tamid HaKam were still situated in Babel. So Rabbi Chanan writes, whenever you have a Psach of a Kol Chachmei Hador, so then that takes on the status of a Psach of Beis HaGadol. And nobody could ever, you can argue with the Beis HaGadol. That's Rabbi Chanan's presentation. So Rabbi Shemais quoted the letter of the Chazon Ish, and when the Chazon Ish asked against Rabbi Chanan, he says, Heichad Latzivet HaVachazel, where do we find that what it says in the Gemara was officially written by all the Chachmei Torah signed off on that? Where does it say that? Probably for me to argue between the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Chanan, but I thought that all Rabbi Chanan meant was, not that there was an official, you know, everyone signed the John Hancock on the bottom of the Gemara. The Rambam writes in Haftonah Peshav Mishnayos that it was accepted by all the Chachamim. It doesn't mean that it happened on one day. It doesn't mean that there was one day where all of a sudden, hear you, the Talmud Bavli came, everyone started handing out shatnas to Gemara to everybody. Everyone said, okay, what a great idea. It took time. You know, in the ancient world, things took time. So the Ravina Ravashi, the Gemara wasn't written overnight. The Gemara says that Ravashi took 30 years till he learned through Kol HaTorah Kula, and then he did it a second time. So he spent 60 years, his entire life, basically, learning through what became the background of Shas Bavli. And then, a little bit later, his Talmud, one of his later Amorim, was Ravina the second, the two Ravinas. The later Ravina was the one who put some of the final touches on the Limudim of Ravashi. And then the Samurai, the next generation or two, put a little bit of editing and put a little final, you know, editorial touches to what we have of the status of the Gemara. So this whole body called Talmud Bavli, that was a compilation of hundreds and hundreds of years of all discussions that took place in Bavel from the Chasimus HaMishnah to the Gemara, that was almost 300 years. So that became Shas Bavli. That Shas Bavli was agreed upon by all the Chachmei Hador at the time. It doesn't mean that they sent out an email, everyone to please, you know, do you accept Shas Bavli or decline, or do you abstain from Shas Bavli? That wasn't exactly what happened. I mean, once this became the text that became learned, so then all the Chachmei Bavel, all the Chachmei Hador understood that this is the authoritative text of Tosha B'Peh. So once Klai Yisrael comes to that realization that this is the authoritative text of Tosh Mofet, that's like binding, like Beis Nagola. I think that's what Rabbi Chana meant. Again, obvious for me to get involved between the Chazanish Ruch. I don't think Rabbi Chana ever meant that, the Chazanish almost understood Rabbi Chana to mean that there was like every Jew, all the Chum signed off on Talmud Bavli, they all wrote it together, it was 10,000 people writing it together. No, it wasn't 10,000 people. It was a compilation of all the discussions that had happened for hundreds and hundreds of years amongst the Chachmei Bavel, and then that was agreed upon by everybody. So Anogel and Maisa, anything that's part of that Kabbalah Satzibor becomes buying in all of Klal Yisrael. Then the Rambam then is Abdon Feshu Shnais writes, what about things that instituted afterwards? The Rambam writes for Feirish that the Gaonim continued for hundreds of years. Sometimes new things came up. They had to address new situations. New concerns came up. So the Rambam writes, and then each Gaon and each Rav in their community has to assess what the Tzorach HaShoah is. If there's a particular need in this community to institute new Chumras, so we have to institute new Chumras, new Siyagim, new Siyagim, new Gezeiras, new Gezeiras. But those Gezeiras and those Siyagim are not binding at all of Klal Yisrael. They're binding on those communities that they were instituted in. That's what the Rambam writes for Feirish. You have situations of things that were instituted after the Gemara was closed that are only binding on certain segments of Klal Yisrael. The Moshel Chayim Rebbe Gershom, not to marry two wives. So the Ashkenazi communities accepted it. Rebbe Gershom, his Talmidim, Rashi, and the Talmidim, so all his Talmidim. So they accepted it, and the Sephardic communities never accepted it. So the Rambam writes, so if you're not bound by it, you're not bound by it. In the Ashkenazi communities, they accepted not to eat kidneys and Pesach. The Sephardic communities didn't have whatever concerns that the Ashkenazim were worried about. Their production of the wheat and the rice was separate. Whatever the reasons were, they felt that it didn't pertain to them. So they didn't accept those benavim. That's exactly what Rambam writes. And also, that if this would have been in the Gemara, if the din of Dam Toya would have been part of Chumash or Mizera, this would have been non-negotiable. But the Rambam says, Befeirish, it was not part of Rabbi Zeira. It was a Dovah Zebi Mehag Odin Mitzchadesh. It was instituted in the days of the Gonim, and therefore it's subject to different community standards. So in most of the Jewish communities in the world, they felt it was a very good concern, it made a lot of sense. And in the French Jewish communities, the Ashkenazi, the Provence, Northern France, Southern France, wherever it was, whichever the Rambam's referring to, they felt it wasn't such a concern that they were able to overcome. The Rabbanim tell the women, you have 33 days and no more. They didn't think that was...
Is it historically accurate? Ashkenazi
communities don't. So it was historically accurate in 1100 when the Rambam was writing it. But then, if you look at the later Rishonim write, yeah, it's nice and it's true that this was historically accurate at that time. And then in later years, so all the Ashkenazi communities went along also. They said, you know what, we can't be the only ones here doing this. That doesn't work. Well, nice that the concerns were great, and the sense the Sephardim won the day on this one.
But it has a different implication because since they didn't. So like Kibul Kibul in everybody at that time, but the Gezeira later on for the Ashkenazi communities accepted would have a to it.
Well, it's probably the same because the truth is that even the Sephardic communities who accepted it was also only B'toras Kibul. It was a Takanas Yodim. So it's not a Din Derais, it's not a Din Derabon. That's what we assume. We'll see hopefully next week's Purim, but after that we'll see the Ramban had a little bit of a different presentation. The Ramban claims it actually was part of Gnosis Yisrael, the Chmir Latzman. The Ramban denies what the Rambam was claiming, that there were actually some communities that were... The Ramban was a little bit later than the Rambam, so I don't know the start in terms of that. But the Ramban is going to disagree with this whole Rambam's theory and says that it's not true. This was also already with Mana Gemara. It wasn't the Schadish from Megahinim. But the Rambam's clear that it was the Schadish from Megahinim. Does it make any difference? At the end of the day, does it make the slightest bit of difference? So whether it's Derais or Derabanan or Chumras HaGaonim, at the end of the day, we're Torah observant people, so we observe it. So it does make a little bit of a difference. It depends. A Rav can sometimes look at a Shaila of Dam Torah through different lenses. And namely, certain Sveikas and Shaila that come up, if it's Dam Tohar, so some Rabbanim have a tradition that there are certain, and let's say that we're Matir things that are Osir, but we may look at it through, well, this is not an Issacharis, this is not even a Chumras HaGemara, this is the Chumras HaGaonim, maybe a little more Kal. Every once in a while, we'll get a shayla that relates to Dam Tohar. So I'll start to ask the woman some questions, and sometimes she doesn't know why I'm asking the questions. So if I know what it is, I don't have to ask the question. But sometimes a woman will call me, say, I just had a baby, I went to the mikvah, and I came back from the mikvah, and I'm having a little bit of a spotty, a little bit of something. So the first question I'll ask her, did you have a boy or did you have a girl? So she thinks that I'm just being nice and pleasant, I'm not being nosy. I have to know that answer. And then I ask her, exactly how old is your baby? I've had women who weren't sure. They're trying to figure out. It's 9 weeks. I said, well, tell me, I need days. Tell me, I can't figure out through the math. I said, and then the next question I'll ask them, did you have a natural delivery or did you have a cesarean? So then she doesn't know what I'm asking them for. It's very important because the din of Dam Torah only applies to a Yoledes. Someone who's a cesarean doesn't have Yemei Tohar. The whole din of Yemei Tohar doesn't apply to the Raisa. to a Sumerian.
She's just a derisive.
So that any down that comes at Tam Torah doesn't exist for her at all. So only if it's within the amount of right days, and it's a girl, and it wasn't a Sumerian, so then we can begin to discuss possible nuance, because it doesn't really matter anything, but then we can begin to discuss, maybe our standards of red will be a little bit more lenient, maybe we'll be a little bit more making certain some shadows that come up, so we'll look at it with the eyes a little bit of kula, if and when it's damtar, but you have to make sure that you have damtar, and then I have to always try, if the woman doesn't know what I'm talking about, so that's usually better, because then she doesn't think, then she's makabal and shayt, but if she understands a little bit, so she says, sometimes I have women or husbands who have asked, he said, are you Mater Damtor? I said, Damtor? You think I'm from France? No, I'm Mater Damtor. All I'm doing is that I'm telling you that we could be a little bit more lenient because it's not even a Derabon. It's only a Chumash HaGaonim. So again, it's case by case in terms of the Alphabet Shem the next year. We have to see the other side of the story, the Ramban's version of what's going on in Damtor. Okay, Metzim, next week is the Purim, so we won't have the early Shia, but anyone's interested, we're going to have Metzim Shem right after Kriya Samgil, right after Davide, we're going to have a special breakfast with a Shia and Yad HaDiyoma. So those are the ones. Thank you.